I want to focus our reflection this evening on fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Our scriptures the last couple of weeks have been showing us that the wise are those who have their hearts set on God and on eternity. They know that death and judgment are certain, and they prepare accordingly for them. Whereas Scripture shows that the fool focuses simply on this passing world and finding their joy in wealth, good looks, and popularity. Our first reading said to us, charm is deceitful, beauty fleeting, but the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And in our responsorial psalm, we sing, blessed are you who fear the Lord. So what is this fear of the Lord? There are so many misunderstandings around this notion of fear of the Lord. But if it's the beginning of wisdom, we ought to try to get it right. You see, there's a distinction in our Catholic tradition between what's called servile fear and filial fear. Servile fear would be the fear that says, I'm afraid of God because he's an angry God and he's out to get me. That notion of fear is the farthest thing from who God is revealed in the sacred scriptures. God is not out to get any of us. He's out to save us. So then, if we're called to fear the Lord, what does that mean? The saints call this filial fear, the fear of children. We are called to recognize the great relationship that we have with God and that God has with us in Christ, and to be afraid of anything that would cause us to lose that relationship. Holy fear is to hold God in awe and to reverence him with a deep and abiding love, so as to appreciate him as the source of all that I am and all that I have. It is to fear offending him, lest I sever my relationship with him. You see, fear of the Lord recognizes that the greatest and most important thing we can have in our life is a relationship with God. And we don't want to do anything to take ourselves away from that. Our gospel gives us an excellent portrait this evening, contrasting filial fear with servile fear. So let's take a look at the comparison that's given us there. We notice that there are three servants who are entrusted with talents. But the way that the first two servants relate to the master is very different than the way than the third one did. Notice, the first two see the master as a reasonable man, and they feel that in their relationship with him that they are completely free to take what's been given by them and to invest it. Notice, there's no fear of retribution. But yet, at the same time, there's a fear that we've got to do something with this. They live fear in freedom. And so they go forth and they immediately, the scripture says, invest. Immediately. But it's not so with the third servant, is it? The third servant has a very different image of God, or the image of the master, sorry. The first thing that you should notice is that he goes away and he buries what's entrusted to him. Isn't it kind of, even when we heard it proclaimed, there was something in me that was like, it's kind of despairing. Just the way that the gospel's worded. He went away and buried the talent. He's afraid. And when the master comes, notice how the first two come back and they eagerly show him what they've done. They do it with joy. And the master's response is to say, come share my joy. But the third one doesn't. He says, here are your talents. He doesn't even call them, he doesn't even personalize it, your talents that you gave me. And he says, I buried them because I knew that you were a harsh and demanding person. He clearly has a very different vision of the master than the first two servants had. The first two trusted that they could go out and invest in freedom. This man didn't. He saw the master as unjust and demanding. Now there's an old Irish saying, and I'm Irish, at least three quarters Irish, and it's, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was no. How many of us see God like that? We see that God just, we kind of think that God just wants to tell us no to everything. That he wants to impose upon our freedom and make harsh demands of us, and that we somehow just have to bear it. This is not what God is inviting us into a relationship with him. This is not the type of fear of the Lord that Scripture is praising. This is servile fear. This is fear of retribution, that God is out to get us. But the cross does not reveal that, does it? It shows very clearly that God is here to seek us, to convince us of his love, and to bring us home to heaven. So how do you see God? Do you see him as out to get you and to stifle your personal happiness? Or do you see him as a God who is love? Because when you understand that God is love, then you can begin to exercise the fear of the Lord, which says, I never want to leave this place where I know that my Father in heaven loves me. I never want to turn away from him or mistrust him, because this is the best treasure that I have. That's what holy fear of the Lord looks like. It recognizes that God is the supreme good and that it's worth losing everything to keep that good for. It's so important that as disciples of Jesus we get this right. Because for most people in the world, you and I as Christians are the only scriptures they'll ever read. You understand? For most people, you and I as Christians are the only scriptures people will read. And the image that we have of who God is will be the image that they see reflected in how we live our lives. And it will either draw them in to our Christian community, into faith in Christ, or it will scatter them. It'll push them farther away. It's our responsibility to image God properly to the world. A God who loves us and who seeks out the lost. So let us begin this night to kindle true fear of the Lord. For our scriptures tell us that those who do so are to be praised by God. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever.